Welcome to MP Access, the official podcast of Mortgage Point and the Five Star Institute. My name is Gina Galusha, and I am coming at you live from Government Forum in D.C. at the beautiful National Press Club. Today, we have Michael Keaton, not the actor, but the servicer.
Indeed, no. No. There you go.
Honestly, he's not my Batman, so that's okay.
Oh, no. No. Which one?
Christian Bale is definitely
my Batman. He is kind of a tougher Batman, for sure.
He's got that. I love the...
The gruff,
when I
gravelly.
Get frustrated with my kids, I go,
swear to me.
You know, just like those kinds of things.
There is that.
So, I love him. But we'll take you.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, we did ask you.
You did say my name three times like Beetlejuice, and then I just appeared, I think, right?
Something like that? It's true.
Yeah.
So you are with newly named Onity.
Correct, Onity Group.
And what's your role at Onity?
I am responsible for technical business development. So things that are a little more unusual, things that are a little different than a typical Fannie Freddie servicing transfer and such like that.
That sounds like a very interesting
thing. It is. Lots of variety, lots of new stuff always coming up. Mm-hmm. So it keeps me busy, and I really do enjoy it.
So how did you end up there? You've been kind of... You've had multiple roles across the industry in different ways.
Yes, I have.
So what led you to where you are now?
That's a great question. So, you know, I spent probably the first 30 years. Yes, I'm older than, you know, I've been doing mortgage servicing from before you were probably alive.
Oh, no. But I appreciate the compliment.
Well, there you go. But, you know, I've been in mortgage servicing since 1992. And up until 2022, always on the operations side, managing some process, some activity or some group of activities. And I was had an opportunity to change roles and take a little bit of time off. And I was reached out to by then named Aquin, PHH, to say, hey, we want to grow business development here. We want to get back to some of our roots in terms of being a strong default servicer. And they brought me on board to help grow subservicing. And again, that's the technical side of it, meaning it's not the vanilla Fannie Freddie stuff, which we still love to do. We still love that as well.
Everybody loves vanilla ice cream. Sometimes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But I joined the team to help bring in some of that core stuff in the door that, you know, the company was long known for being good at. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff that's unusual, stuff that's a little harder, stuff that needs a little more collaboration with the client to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying it. So I have 4 years of not managing operations. So I'm now that business development guy that I used to complain about. The guy who doesn't know anything, you know.
But you do know something.
Well, there you go.
So that was a smart choice on their part.
There you go.
Yeah.
I hope so.
And you ultimately got here because of someone you want to give a shout out to?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm here because of my mom. Hello, Grandma Susan. How are you? Hopefully you've at least made it to this point of the podcast and are still watching
for the
shout out.
And but we did you a favor.
Yes, yes, we did.
It's true. You know, you wouldn't be here, and you can say, hey, Ma, look, I made it.
Hey, Ma, this is what happens to a theater major. We actually can still have jobs. We are actually able to pay for our bills and survive. I really am a theater major.
I heard you have a master's in theater.
I do indeed.
Does that serve you well on the biz dev side?
I think it does. I mean, it helps... from a conversational perspective, you know, engaging new people who want to talk about things. And I think it also helped me earlier in my career when I managed default and loss mitigation because it helped train team members and associates to, you know, to listen to the other side, listen to what the homeowner has to say, show some empathy, give them your ear, let them tell their story. The call does not have to end in 2.5 minutes. The call ends when you get the information that you need to get from the homeowner. So I think it has served me well. For sure.
And I think, you know, when you're dealing with a difficult client on the phone or let's say a client who is in a difficult situation themselves and maybe aren't expressing it well, sometimes you do kind of have to act it until you make it.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yes.
With yours, so I can see how that kind of would help as well.
That's where patience comes into play for sure.
Patience is key.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely key. So... what work or project are you working on right now that you're really excited about?
Well, I would say there's a couple things that we have going on that are pretty cool at Onity. And they're related to not just the homeowner experience. We're always looking for ways to meet the homeowner where they're at, right? I saw an interesting statistic from our payment processing department that we literally still have 20,000 homeowners a month who get their phone out and they type the numbers on their phone to make a payment over the phone. I would have thought that people stopped doing that a long time ago, but 20,000 homeowners a month make a payment by pushing buttons on their phone. But, of course, we also have homeowners who are using online bill pay and all the other methods today, right? So I think one of the challenges is keeping up with technology and meeting homeowners where they're at. So keeping the old school technology available for those who want to mash buttons on their phone. But then also creating alignment with bill pay systems and every other creative way to help a homeowner get their payment in the door. But the thing that I'm probably the most excited about these days is the way that we're taking that innovation and offering to our servicing clients. In the same way that when you look at the people who do subservicing oversight, you know, some of them are my age, right? So they're used to old school logging into systems and pulling up reports and reviewing, you know, Excel spreadsheets and things like that. But you also have a younger generation of folks who are now doing servicer oversight, right? So they want to use young person tools. So we have a data platform that we call LoanSpan. All of our clients get it for free. It's their self-service access to data for anything that's going on their portfolio. So in addition to all the reports that we push to them automatically, we give them the access to LoanSpan to get self-service data. And it was already a really good system. It was already easy to navigate. So, like, for example, if you had your Mississippi State audit going on, there would be a drop-down that you could go to and find the relevant documents for a Mississippi State audit so that you could show that your servicer is doing the right job, right? So it was already a great system, easy to navigate. But we've now added an AI feature to it that we call Lassie, right? You know, you've heard of Lassie. Yeah, so Lassie retrieves things. We're not getting anyone out of a well, so there's no Timmy stuck in the well or anything like that. But we are able to help our clients retrieve data. So instead of having to type in to a screen or use a drop-down, click down to find information on an already easy-to-navigate system, you can just type in, hey, what is the status of Gina's foreclosure? Sorry, we put you in foreclosure, sorry.
Oh, my gosh, so rude.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry that I had to let you know on a podcast as well, right?
Yeah, but I'm taking it really well.
You are. You haven't flipped anything yet.
No,
so
we'll see. Keep going.
Exactly. So you can just ask a status and say, what is Gina's principal balance? What is the status of Gina's loan? What is the balance in her escrow account? Does Gina have a escrow shortage or an escrow overage? Mm-hmm. So instead of just navigating the system like you might have in the past, we're trying to meet our clients where they are. And we're giving them access to this easy-to-use technology that they can just type in free form, just natural language, and Lassie figures it out, and Lassie retrieves the data for you.
Nice.
And the other thing that it can do, and I think this is where our partnership through transparency really shows to our clients, is as you can probably appreciate, you talked about grumpy homeowners earlier, right? Well, sometimes that grumpy homeowner might call our client. And they'll say, oh, my God, you're not going to believe the way Michael spoke to me on the phone or whatever, right? So in the past, the client would come to us and say, hey, can I have that call where Gina talked to Michael? She said it happened yesterday at about 2 o'clock. And we would send the call. Well, now we're using Lassie to retrieve that information. So the client would be able to just go into the system and say, give me the most recent phone call on Gina's loan from this time range, and it just sends them the call. So that's us with a level of trust that our associates are doing a phenomenal job. Absolutely. Speaking to homeowners, and we will let the client hear the phone call before we've even heard it ourselves.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So partnership through transparency, that's what we call it.
Okay. All right. What led to that philosophy?
That's a great question. You know, when we talked, and I'm not going to mention any other subservicers by name because they're all good people, but one of the things that we run into from time to time when we're talking to potential clients is they say, I don't even know what my servicer's Fannie Star rating is. I don't know what was the result of their last Ginny audit. Or I asked for a copy of their last Ginny audit 6 weeks ago, and I still haven't received it yet. And so what we have realized is that level of additional trust, if we're going to say, hey, we're going to give it all to you. We're going to make the information available to you to get in the format you want to digest it in, and you're going to find out about it at the same moment we're going to find out about it. Another one of the things that we do is we share within that LoanSpan platform a series of KPIs, right? So we tell you before you even asked, here's how things went yesterday. average hold time was this. This many people hung up on us when they were talking to us on the phone. This many of your homeowners went from being 90 days delinquent to into a foreclosure. This many of your homeowners came out of foreclosure on a mod, right? We give you this transparent access to all of your data and a series of easy to digest and easy to read KPIs. And I think that level of transparency is something that clients appreciate. It makes it easier for them to manage us.
Mm-hmm. Do you also have data on there in terms of, you know, how many calls were escalated that were unfortunately upset customers?
Yes.
Or maybe data around, like, here's a frown we turned upside down.
There you go. Absolutely, yes. So in addition to that reporting, we also provide reporting on any escalations within the call center. We have software that we use to track every case. So we consider it an expression of dissatisfaction, right? And some expressions of dissatisfaction you can address, meaning I sent you my payment, I see that you cashed my check, but I don't think I got credit for that payment, right? Well, that's something that we can look into and investigate. You get other expressions of dissatisfaction, like you call me too much, or I didn't like the letter you sent me. Like, well, you're 90 days past due. We are going to call you from time to time at this stage, right? So there's things that are actionable, and there's things that aren't necessarily anything you can fix,
right?
But you still log it all, and we share all of that data with our clients as well, including situations where maybe we need to get something from the client. Like we might have a homeowner who says, hey, I was told I have a fixed-rate loan, and my payment just changed. And so we reach out to the client and say, hey, Gina's saying this isn't supposed to be an ARM. It's supposed to be a fixed-rate loan, right? Mm-hmm. So it includes that back and forth with the client for information that we may need to get from them.
Gotcha. Very neat. I see why you're excited about it.
Yes, absolutely. We think it's a big differentiator for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I've feel as though it'd be a lot of fun in terms of the iterations possible.
Oh, yes. Yes.
As well, and the refinements.
Yes. If you follow the history of LoanSpan and Lassie, when we originally launched it, the people refer to the minimum viable product,
yes.
Meaning that it's basically barely a thing, right? So the initial version of Lassie was able to pull down policies and procedures. So again, let's say you were doing that state audit. And the state auditor says to you, I need a copy of your servicer's policy for payment posting, whatever, right? It was originally just set up to provide you with sort of the dry, boring information that you might need to fulfill an audit or to do your own QC of us, that kind of thing. And it's been exciting to see it evolve from the system that now reads information straight out of the serving system and shares it with the client. The call recordings are the most recent thing. So, yeah, it's been very interesting to watch the system grow for sure.
And do you just sit back and plot? Like,
it does make me wonder. I am a bit of a science fiction fan, so I hope we're not creating the Terminator here. But of course,
like,
a Terminator named Lassie you wouldn't think that would be too mm-hmm. terrible. But
so, you hosted a panel today.
Indeed.
And it was on keeping homeowners in their home.
Mm-hmm.
What would you share as kind of the top three takeaways from that panel?
Great question. So, one of the things that I think is interesting, and it may be something that you see depending on, where's home for you?
Now Dallas. Texas.
Okay.
So Texas is an area that's seen property values go up, and it's an area that's seen property taxes go up,
oh,
right?
My goodness.
So if you look at the history of loan servicing, homeowners have always had challenges, and it was typically things like, death, divorce, disability, some sort of a life event that happened, right?
Right.
But now homeowners who maybe qualified for their loan only barely, like maybe they just made that threshold for debt-to-income ratio to get that loan. And they got that loan thinking, well, I got a fixed-rate loan, so my payment will never change. Well, guess what? You live in an area where property values have gone way up, which is a wonderful thing. You have this equity in your home now, but now your monthly payment is P&I, principal and interest, and T&I, taxes and insurance. Well, now that T number is starting to go up because your taxes are going up, and now the payment that maybe you just barely qualified for when you got the loan is now becoming unaffordable. So if I think back over the 30-plus years that I've been in servicing, it probably wasn't until the last 3 or 4 years where homeowners would come to us and say, I can't afford my home. My payment, you know, my principal and interest hasn't changed. My job hasn't changed. I still have the same good job that I had before. But because my taxes or insurance or both have gone up so much, I'm not able to afford the home anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's a tough one, right? Because, you know, if a homeowner is past due on their payments and you're trying to help them with a modification solution, you know, there may be something there to help with the delinquency on the loan. But if they fundamentally can't afford their home anymore, right, because the taxes and insurance have just made it unaffordable, it's a whole new type of conversation that you have to have with that homeowner where you say, all right, well, you know, I'm not seeing a viable loss-mitt retention solution for you where you're going to be able to keep your home. But I do see a path for you to take that $60,000 of equity out of your home before it's all gone and let us help you find someone to help you sell the home, right? That's a terrible, hard conversation to have. But sometimes that's the conversation that the homeowner needs to hear, that to understand that they can walk away with $60,000 in their pocket, but only if they act quickly.
Right, right. That is tricky. So T&I is a big one.
For sure.
What other kind of mitigation were you talking about on the panel?
Well, one of the other things that came up, and Lokanda made a great point about this, is the early intervention with a homeowner, right? Watching for micro changes in their payment habits, right? Now, let's say you typically pay on the 4th of the month, and we noticed that over the last 4 months, you went from paying on the 4th of the month to the 10th of the month to the 15th of the month, and last month your payment came in 2 days before the end of the month, right? Something's going on. We should reach, even though you're current, even though you're 100% up to date, we should reach out to you and say, hey, we've noticed a change in your payment habits. Is there something we should be doing? Or you look at the homeowner who has been on auto draft for 5 years, and they turn their auto draft off, and you notice that their FICO score has dropped by 100 points. So, you know, she made a very good point on the panel to talk about, you know, monitoring for these micro changes and having conversations with homeowners about them to say, hey, is something going on? Is there something we need to know about? Is there something we can help you with in this scenario? And the answer may not be that we can help them in this scenario, but it's good to start the dialogue so that the homeowner knows that there's someone there who's willing to talk. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of homeowners who become past due and who have never been past due on anything in their life, it's kind of a scary thing, right? They don't, you know, for all they know, their only experience with collections is watching Goodfellas or The Godfather, right? they don't realize that this is not, no one's going to come break your kneecaps, no one's going to yell at you. We want to have a conversation and we want to solve it together. But if you've never been past due on anything in your life, you don't know what to expect, and you feel a little adverse to having that conversation,
right.
For sure.
I would think, too, like the shame,
yes.
You know, it's really hard to confront.
Yep.
To make a phone call and reach out.
For sure.
So for someone to reach out to you and say, hey, how's it going? How can we help?
Yep.
It would make that easier.
It does. It does, Bridget, for sure. Mm-hmm. It does indeed. Mm-hmm. And I would say the third thing that that's worth mentioning that we talked a bit about gets back to the equity that a lot of homeowners have today. So when you look at homeowners who have strong equity positions in their home, it opens up some different types of resolutions for their situation. Now, in some cases, it might be getting a second mortgage. Tap into that equity if you think it's a short-term thing that you can fix, right? You don't want to erode all your equity. You don't want it to all just, you know, whittle away. But there are homeowners who might be helped by with a second mortgage or an equity line of credit. There are other homeowners who, unfortunately, need to take advantage of the equity that exists and maybe look at a home sale opportunity for sure, while, and depending on the market they're in, while prices are where they're at.
Right. It was a great panel.
It is. It was. It was. I thought it was the dream team for sure.
Honestly, it really was. I mean, you had Rocket. You had Fannie Freddie.
Yep.
You had
Patrick from U.S. Bank.
U.S.
Yep.
Bank.
Yep.
Yeah. And then since you've been in the industry for just a bit, what are you looking at that's coming down the road that you're saying, let's prepare for this?
That's a great question. So I would say, you know, one of the things that's coming down the road that we need to prepare for is what I mentioned earlier, just the ongoing homeowner expectations in terms of how they want to interact with their servicer. There are and always will be homeowners, like I mentioned, who make that payment by punching numbers on their phone for some reason I don't understand. There's also going to always be homeowners who want to speak to someone live on the phone. So you need to have a well-trained staff and very short hold times.
100% that girl.
Exactly. There you go.
I am.
There you
I'm
go.
A caller. My husband's a website searcher, and I am definitely a caller.
Gotcha. And so, and to go along with that website searcher husband of yours, you have to have a great website that has self-service information that's easy to navigate. And I would say you also need to have chatbot options. And you need to have two chatbot options. You need to have one that is, of course, a live person, right, to answer live person questions. And you need to have the AI version as well to answer the very simple questions. And I think the challenge is a lot of companies, when they design AI and chatbots and things like that, like you think about your cable company or you think about your cell phone company, right? They have an AI chatbot that's designed for them. It's designed to save them money. It's designed to have their consumers, their customers, talk to as few of their associates as possible. And they will trap you in the AI, and they'll make you say over and over again,
"Oh my God.
I know that you say you want to speak to an associate, but first you have to tell me why." And I think to myself, "I don't have to tell you anything. I've told you I want to speak with an associate, and that's what I want to do, right?" And so when you design AI, you need to think about, yes, there are homeowners, consumers who are going to try to use it, and they're happy to not speak with an associate or type with an associate. They just want to get the answer to the question. I lost my 1098. Can you send me a new 1098? Can you resend me last month's billing statement? AI is wonderful for those kinds of things. I lost my mortgage. Can you email me a copy of my mortgage? But there are a generation of homeowners, of borrowers now, who they want live, but they don't want to talk. They want to type, right? That's just what they prefer, right? And so I think you have to have that option as well. And it has to be the same very well-trained associates. You can't make homeowners wait 20 minutes because you want to type with someone. You got to be just as quick to answer those as you are with your phone calls.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Indeed.
That's very smart. What else are you anticipating in terms of the market and any market changes that are coming?
Well, it's a good question, specifically around delinquency, right? I saw on the CBS Sunday Morning Show, I'm not intentionally plugging them. I don't know Jane Pauley personally or anything like that.
Yet.
Yeah, well, maybe she'll call me after this, right? We'll be doing her show next.
Perfect.
There you go. Hello, Jane Pauley. We're here for you. I saw an interesting segment on there about auto delinquency. And you try to think about what are the warning signs for our economy? What are the leading indicators? And one of the panels on economics talked about that earlier today. And if you look at auto delinquencies being at a all-time high, or at least a all-time high for the last few years, that means that many of those people that have these delinquent auto loans are also homeowners, right? And they're probably treating their debts in a way where they're saying, all right, I'm going to do everything I can to keep my mortgage on track, but I got to let the car go, or I got to let one of my two cars go, and I'm going to use my credit cards a little more or something like that. So I think when we look at the fact that credit card debt is at an all-time high, when we look at auto delinquencies are going up, I think that means at some point we're going to see it manifesting itself in the mortgage industry. I don't have a crystal ball, but I would, you can guess that with FHA homeowners being typically the smallest down payment, they're probably going to be where we continue to see delinquency creeping up as it already has started to do, which will mean that foreclosures will start creeping up as well as bankruptcy starting to creep up. So I think that, in the next, say, 6 to 18 months, of course, people have been saying that for a while, but I really do think that the leading indicators are there to say that delinquency is going to start going up soon.
Well, and there were so many other factors at play when people were saying that a year or two ago. You had the HAF funds, and you had all of the kind of the different changes in the mitigation that have come down recently. So there are some factors for sure.
Yeah.
That make this different story.
It does. And I think that the LOSMIT programs that are available have changed. And I think in many ways changed for the better. But again, there was a panel earlier today where someone said, "Hey, I was talking to a homeowner in a high cost state, with some place like New York and New Jersey, and the homeowner's over $100,000 past due on payments, right? So that's many payments past due." And they said, "Okay, well, all right, let's talk. Let's just put it on the back of the loan like you didn't during COVID." And they're having to explain, that's not a thing.
No longer a thing.
We can't put your $150,000 on the end of your loan. That's not available, right? But homeowners, because they've gotten solutions in the past, they just assume that the same solutions are going to be out there, which gets back to the earlier point about early engagement with homeowners,
yes.
When it's a 30-day delinquent or a 60-day delinquent before it's turned into a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. Last question I want to ask.
Let's hear it.
Do you still act?
I don't currently act. Acting is it would be a lot of fun for me to get into acting again, and I will at some point in my life, I'm sure. But it takes up a lot of time. Like whether you have the lead in the play or the musical, or whether you have a small role, once it gets close to production time, you're there, all day, every day. So it's a huge time commitment. So for now, my huge time commitment is Onity Group, and maybe in retirement, I'll find a way to get back on the stage. We'll see.
I can fully back you up on that. My daughter is in the school musical.
All right.
This week is the week before.
What show?
It's a review.
Okay, musical
of a
review.
Bunch of musical pieces.
Right.
Yeah. So it was so funny. She was like, "I learned this famous piece the other day," when she's never seen Grease before. And I was just like, "Oh, yes, that is famous."
Yes, indeed.
But my poor husband is dealing with those pickups and drop-offs.
Yes.
But it will be good.
Shout out to your husband.
Yes.
Dad of the year.
Thank you, Adam. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Yes, it was a very fun chat. We hope you enjoyed it as well. We're glad that you joined us, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to MP Access. Stay up to date with daily mortgage news, featured stories, and our latest episodes of the podcast at themortgagepoint.com. Don't miss out. We'll see you next week.